You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's 94.3 The Shark, online at 94.3theshark.com. It's Rob Rush. And, of course, a Long Island legend and Long Island legendary band is Twisted Sister. And you know that our good buddy Mark the Animal Mendoza has ties with the radio station. I do a podcast with him and Billy Mira. And Mark comes on every once in a while. And Mark's old bandmate, Dee Snider, he just came back to Long Island. And he's got a new album coming out, Leave a Scar, out on July 30th. And I got Dee on the line. What's going on, Dee?
Ah, man, you know, it's just so exciting to have the record. Well, a couple of tracks have come out, so the album doesn't come out until July 30th. Pre-orders now at Napalm America, NapalmRecordsAmerica.com/D Snider. Please pre-order. Yeah, so it's been great to finally start getting some feedback and reaction to this thing.
And, I mean, it sounds great. I Gotta Rock Again is the single that's out now. And this is the second time that you're working with Jamie Josta. So what is it that you like so much about working with him? I mean, I know he called you an American treasure, but besides that, what's the reason you like working
with him? Well, you know, in the mid-90s, at the end of Widowmaker, I walked away from writing and creating new music and new metal, feeling like there was no place for me in that world anymore, other than as an oldies act. And then, you know, went into doing Twisted Sister reunion shows and all that, and they were great and they were fun. But it's oldies. You know what I mean? It's retro and it's all that stuff. And when Jamie Josta approached me a few years ago and challenged me to do a contemporary metal record, I said, look, I love new metal, and I follow it, but I just don't know how do I fit in? And Jamie said, I know exactly how you fit in. So when we did For the Love of Metal, he showed me my place, and the album shocked people because it was contemporary and it was heavy, and people were not expecting that from Dee Snider. As heritage artists get older, they get lighter as a rule. So now when it came to doing a follow-up, I just went with the same team of people and said, I love the results last time. This is where I feel comfortable, and so we just got back in the studio with the same team.
And the same band as well, right, with Russell's playing on this album too?
Yeah, like when I did the first album, we had a lot of outside help, a lot of outside writers, players, things like that, because it was not a band per se. But then after recording, I put together a band, and after being out doing shows for 2 years, it really did become a band. Russ Pizzuto on bass, Nick Taz Petrino on guitar, and then Belmore Brothers Charlie and Nicky on drums and guitar. And so this time we're in the studio, there was no outreach per se to say that we have a band. We know Jamie, me, and Charlie do the writing, and now now I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Jamie guided me in. I said, okay, I get it. Let's do. Now I'm ready to do this.
Well, I couldn't believe. I think you said it on Mark's show that you hadn't written original music in all that time, and I was shocked that you had said that up until the last couple of albums.
No, this last record.
Oh, this last
I hadn't written
record.
A thing.
Okay.
And I just felt like I had this feeling like I had overstayed my welcome. I guess I was wrong, but that's how I was feeling. By mid 90s grunge was just hammering, and I was viewed as this old dog, an old school guy, and even though Widowmaker, the second Widowmaker album, was very contemporary sounding, people were not welcoming me into the new party, so to speak. So but it was really and mentally I had retired. In 2019, I told my family, friends, and business associates and band, I said, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And people say, oh, yeah, right. Dude, this is the evidence. I had a pair of shoes I've been wearing on stage for 20 years. They're my stage shoes. I signed them, boxed them up, and sent them to my number one fan in Canada, Keith Whelan. And I said, dude, put them in your man cave. I'm done. Of course, now I emailed him and said, Keith, can I get my shoes back?
Yeah,
I changed my mind.
On Mark's show. Yeah, you were talking about that on Mark's show.
Matter of fact, that's where Keith said, hey, I'm listening. He heard me on Mark's show because he's a true fan of Twisted and mine and whatever. So I really thought I was, but then COVID happened. The world happened. The world got crazy. And for the first time, I felt like I had something to say, especially lyrically. I wanted to say something. And that was since the 90s. So that's a long hiatus. But lyrically, that was really the motivation. And it started with, I gotta rock again. A simple statement like that, sitting watching, binge watching TV in Belize, I'm going, Jesus, I gotta rock again. I gotta get out of here. This is crazy. How long can you sit in a chair?
Exactly.
So that got me back.
Well, you say binge watching, and you say that, you think that, you were echeloned into that oldies act notoriety for a while. But Cobra Kai, I mean, you were on the last season of Cobra Kai, and do you think that's going to attract a lot of new fans for you?
That was crazy, Cobra Kai. First of all, this show, I knew Billy Zabka for years before that. We had these conventions that people do, these rock and roll movie TV conventions. We'd run each other and just like became friends. And I remember when he told me, when I first met him, he was just there, signing photos for the Karate Kid movies. He said, yeah, YouTube's going to do a show with us called Cobra Kai. I was like, oh, cool, man. YouTube? What's that?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what it is, a TV on YouTube. And then he called me after a couple seasons on YouTube. He goes, Netflix is picking it up. We're filming season 3. Would you want to do a guest spot? And I said, what is it? He goes, well, you are the most badass rocker ever. And I said, okay, I'm in. But still the show was not like a thing, really. Then COVID hit. Netflix was airing the first 2 seasons from YouTube, and then the 3rd season hit. 75 million people saw me on that show. 75 million people, and suddenly there's all these young people going, hey, that's Dee Snider, the most badass rocker ever. Yes, that's me, yes.
So then it would give you a little notoriety and,
It's like all of a sudden I just did this. I just talked about censorship to a class of like 70 seventh graders.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason they asked me there was because they all knew me from Cobra Kai. They're like, oh,
awesome.
He knows about censorship. Cool. Let's check him out.
The cool thing with Zabka in that show is that he kind of gives props to, the Long Island bands, you. And I think he was wearing a zebra shirt in one of the episodes. Somebody had told me.
Apparently. And this is, Billy told me, when he went in for the audition for the original role in Karate Kid, he was wearing a zebra shirt.
Oh, wow.
So he is a true fan of the old school. And I got to tell you, it's really not much of a stretch. That character is pretty much Billy. It's pretty much Billy. I don't know if he smokes cigarettes on the show, but he's a cigarette smoker off the show. He's an old school rocker, and he has that respect. But it's so cool that this show is reflecting the old and the new in one show. And you got the older fans watching it because they grew up on Karate Kid. But you got all those young kids watching it because with the new cast, it's almost like Twilight for karate,
That's a good, Twilight for karate. And you mentioned, Long Island. You just played, was it the first time you played since the pandemic out at the Stereo Garden?
In almost 2 years, it was the first show I did.
What was that like?
And, well, first of all, I really thought that I was done. Hmm. So I had not been as strict with my diet and my and my exercise regimen since I decided I was retiring. I mean, so there's that. So I was like, oh, crap, I'm actually going to do this again? So that was crazy. But also when they first, they wanted to do a show. This is going to air in July, be streamed in July, and they wanted to do something for promotion. But it was the middle of, it was COVID was going strong. We decided to do this in like January. And so we said, well, we can't do a theater or a big venue. We're going to have it under controlled circumstance. We need to do a club. They came up with this idea of doing it at Stereo Garden on Long Island. because that's where we rehearse in Long Island. And everybody says, but only 200 people can be there. They have to be COVID tested, masks. This is how it started.
Yeah, yeah.
Then as it got closer, they started loosening all the restrictions. So it was 300 people, 400 people, 600 people. The night of the show, there was lines around the block. It reminded me of the old Hammerheads and Speaks days. And the place was wall-to-wall, no masks, no anything, and people were just rocking. It was just packed in there, and it was like an old-school Long Island show. So it was a lot of fun.
And everybody said it sounded great, and I know Mark was up on stage, did a song with you. So is that going to all be featured in this streaming thing, and where it's going to be streamed?
Well, that's, I don't have those answers. Just, stand by for all that information. It'll all be coming. Believe me, I'll be blasting you. I'll be blowing you up with information on the live stream when they put it together. But, yeah, Mark, it was the coolest thing. So, after the band retired, Twisted retired, clearly I had things that I wanted to do that were not Twisted Sister, from Dido's Broadway to For the Love of Metal. I mean, this was not Twisted Sister style,
yeah,
or
yeah,
thing. And I'm really close with all the guys in the band still, and that's great. We're friends. But I wouldn't presume to say, hey, come down and check out my show, dude. It's just weird,
mm-hmm.
And from when Mark called me and said, hey, can I come to the show? I'm like, can you? Are you kidding? I said, and then he said, I'd love to get up there and play. I was like, oh, I mean, that was like such a moment for me. And there's a lot of pictures out of me, the two of us just smiling ear to ear, because it's just, look, Twisted Sister will always be my band. I thank them on the last record. I thank them on this record, because without that band, I would not have the foundation that I have to be doing anything that I'm doing. It all comes from Twisted Sister. So to have my brother Mark up there on stage, my brother Mark Mendoza, my sister Mark Mendoza on stage with me was just like the greatest thing.
And you mentioned the lines reminded you of some of the older clubs. Mark has like a memory like an elephant. He always talks about all these clubs. But what was like your favorite place to play? Like what was the Twisted venue that you would say is the Long Island place to have seen the band?
I was, from the day one, I was never in a club. I was never in a bar.
Mm.
And that was my approach to things. From day one, when I joined the band, we had barricades in front of the stage that said, keep back, for the huge crowds. Mind you, there were seven people there to see us, literally seven people. But to me, and if you look at any old picture of me, one of those standard shots you see is me looking off in the distance and pointing up. And that's one of my basic stage moves. And I said, what are you pointing at? I was pointing at the top row at the Nassau Coliseum. In my mind, that's where I was.
Yeah.
I would never leave the dressing room, a.k.a. bathroom, because I would sit in there the whole night because you didn't see rock stars walking around at the arenas. So in my head, I was always there. So when I look back at those clubs, the bigger places, the better. When the second Hammerheads, that would hold almost 2,000 people. Speaks, which would hold 1,000. You go to Jersey, Fountain Casino, which could open up walls, which would have 4,000 people. To me, it was about, if it felt like an arena stage, that was my favorite place to play. The bigger the stage, the bigger the venue. That's what I like. And to this day, I say God gave me a head this big to play festivals. You can't miss my head. So no pee head on D. Snyder. He's got a festival head.
Now, what would be the funniest Mendoza story that you remember or would care to share with the audience about Mark?
Well, I don't know how funny this is, but I was laughing.
We all know that, he's Mr. Personality sometimes.
No, I was laughing. He, how brutal he is on instruments. I say when Mark plays bass, it's the only bass player you feel sorry for the instrument. You're like, I say his side gig is making toothpicks out of bass guitars. He's just so brutal. And he had this vintage white Thunderbird bass, Gibson Thunderbird, very rare. And he bought it off Jackie Fox from the Runaways when the Dictators were touring. And he used to play it on stage. And one night I look over and he is standing there with two, with the body of the bass in one hand and the neck of the bass in the other hand. And it's really sort of like this little kid look on his face, like I just broke my favorite toy, you know, which is not a look you see on Mendoza's face very often. That, Lord, what happened to my toy? You know, and yeah, he just broke it in two on stage, and I was laughing, and he was very upset. How can you laugh? You know, I'm like, I'm sorry. It was just, I just didn't expect to see that. Like, what happened to the bass? Oh, it broke into two pieces.
You know, I know you just did something with the Kings of Chaos in New Mexico, where it's a collective of a bunch of different musicians from certain bands. And Mark and you, like I had said, I watched his Area 22 show with you. You know, Mark always talks about the love of Cactus, and you had mentioned, you know, those guys, but if there was a band or any band members that you would love to still play with, past, present, future, who would they have been?
All right. So, like, over the years, you know, I've watched a lot of bands and I've watched a lot of performers. And now this is kind of going old school, but it is. My favorite drummer to watch was Scott Rockenfield. Is that his name?
From Queensryche? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Scott. Then Juan Cruchier,
however you
from
say
Rat,
that. Yeah,
was an animal, not an animal like Mark, but he was all over the stage. And, of course, Angus Young. And I said, this would be the ultimate entertainment to watch those, the four of us, like just all over the place in our prime on stage. I said, but then again, I'd probably kill all the other guys, accidentally step on them because they're small. So and in the first show, D crushed Juan and Angus, and they've been hospitalized. But I thought, boy, that would be entertaining to see those four guys like just hitting the stage all over the place.
That's an interesting collection of people as well, you know? I mean, you know, some people would just say, I would like to see XYZ, all the same types of band, but different in the same way as well. You know, Queensryche and Rat and AC/DC. Same
and these
genre.
Are all bands. Well, not AC/DC, but Rat and Queensryche. We toured with these guys, so we got to really experience what they do and really just fall in love with their style. Now, I don't know if Juan could still do what he did in the 80s anymore. He's a little fuller. But and I haven't seen Scott perform either. But in their prime, they were something to see.
Yeah, I spoke to Jeff Tate maybe about a month ago. He's actually going to be playing the Stereo Garden in November, and he said, you know, he vividly remembers and has fond memories. The first tour that they ever did was with you guys. He was saying, and how you took care of them, and you know, you guys took them under your wing. So,
oh yeah, they had come. They were like, where Twisted Sister like did the bar scene and the cover scene. Queensryche had a different approach. Queensryche was, we're not going to do that. We're going to go right from the studio rehearsals to the, if it's going to happen, to a record, to touring. So they came out of their rehearsal basements and onto the concert stage. That just shows you that their most earliest form, you know, they really hadn't had a lot of live performing experience when we started touring with them. Where Twisted was, you know, we were ready for our shot. The first show, insanity broke out. It was in Kansas City. This was like the second show they ever did, and you know, there was girls climbed on stage and were taking their clothes off, and I got into a guy tried to get on stage. I got into a fist fight. I punched a guy and knocked him off the stage. It was just pandemonium. And as I walked off, I remember Chris DeGarmo, was that the guitar player who used to be in the band?
I think so.
Chris said, is that what it's like every night? He had this look of shock. And I said, no, only the good ones. And I walked by, as I walked by them, they just couldn't believe like what a Twisted Sister show was.
Well, July 30th, Dee's new album, Leave a Scar, is going to be coming out, and we will check back in with him on you know, social media and stuff to find out when the streaming event will happen of the show that took place at the Stereo Garden in Patchogue back in June. And, you know, thanks for hanging out, man, and talking about some old Long Island stories.
Well, let me just say for my fans, for being the D, as we like to say back in the day, this album is not for the faint of heart. If you've grown and your love of metal has grown over the years, you're going to love this record because I've got a lot of influences on it, and you're going to edit. But it's, I mean, look, I got a song with the singer of Cannibal Corpse duetting with me on the track. The latest one just came out called Time to Choose. But if you're looking for like an 80s throwback record, there are a lot of other bands out there for you. Dee Snider solo is not for you. But you know what? I'm telling you, man, old rock fans, heavy metal is the fountain of youth. It is, keep playing the metal. You'll be young for frickin' ever.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.